This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You've got this new head filled up with smoke. I've got my veins all tangled. Close to the jukebox buys you frequent by the safest way to hide.
I'm unfamiliar with this tune.
Filled with your most obvious weaknesses.
Is this from the train concert you went to?
No, it's no. Just from, yeah, it's Taking Back Sunday. Anyway, are you ready?
Yeah.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'm literally back this time.
Except for the last episode.
Where Alice was here.
We are now tied for the number of episodes we've both been in.
That we've both been, because there was that time when you weren't.
I had COVID one time.
You had COVID and I decided to like do the intro for a little bit.
Yeah, so it's not even like you'd even did like an episode like without me. You just like came in and like technically like were present to let people know like what was going on and whatnot.
Yeah.
But still, like, you know, now we're here.
It was interesting. Yeah. Like, I haven't listened to the episode with you and Alice yet. I'm going to.
Okay.
But then, so we did that for Popcorn Culture, and then for Through the Gryffindor, We were able to record the regular episode, but then for the after show, the owlry, we call it, where we answer questions, like we each answered the same question, but separately.
Yeah, we didn't know what the other person said.
Yeah, so and it was like a lore question, like a what if scenario. So it was sort of like, where did our minds wander without the other person to bounce off of?
Yes.
And it sounds like we went to different places.
Different places entirely. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting to me as well, because like it ended up being a Super Carlin Brothers video script.
It did. Well, I came up and they were asking, you know, what did I say? And then they kind of told me a little bit about what you said. And then like I sent you the script after I sort of finished writing it, and you had a couple of different like changes here and there. And I tried to incorporate some of the stuff they said you said. And I think it came together pretty good.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was great. This was the question in question was, what if Merope Gaunt had not given up her son, Tom Riddle?
Yeah.
And like basically just like, or I guess really left Tom Riddle, aka Voldemort's father, under the love potion. So he like grew up like in a family.
In a family with you know, two parents in the same house, but like with fake enslavement love.
You know? Kind of weird situation.
Is that better or worse? Turns out it's about the same.
So if you want to check it out, you're over on Super Carlin Brothers. But you're right. Yeah, it's been a weird couple of weeks because you were gone at Pokemon Worlds for like half a week here in the office. And then I was gone to the beach for a week with my family. So we have been like further apart than we normally ever are for any reason.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't seen you since like almost 2 weeks.
I know.
Yeah.
I know,
that's crazy. Yeah.
How do you think my spray tan looks?
Oh, man. I mean, it just looks, you know, it looks good, but like you can tell it's artificial.
Thanks. It's not a spray tan.
It's just a regular, real hard one from the sun tan.
Exactly. Yeah. It's been a challenge too. Like I have like the farmer's tan, because like, you know, you get to like the beginning of summer season and it's like you start needing to like mow the grass and go do like yard chores and stuff like that before it's really properly cold, like, or warm enough rather to like be outside shirtless.
Yeah.
And so I kept going, you know, every single year the same thing happens and I go get like my farmer's tan, and then I swear once you've got a farmer's tan, I don't know if it's just that like from that point forward your like cook, so to speak, is almost like your arms just get darker at the same rate that like your torso is getting darker, so like no matter what you always have the difference.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah, sort of the problem.
I'm never just going outside only wearing sleeves, but like empty torso.
Right. Yeah. Not giving it a chance to catch up.
Maybe that needs to be like a new Patreon quarterly merch is like spring gloves. And they're literally like gloves that go all the way up to like your arm, but they're like kind of like moisture wicking, you know, right. Like they're meant to be like cooling.
Yeah.
You know, or you can call them summer gloves and you wear them like out at the lake and it's like just to get your torso.
Right. So it can catch up with your arms.
Could you have a reverse farmer's tan where your arms are actually less tan than your body?
That would be so weird.
It would be so weird.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Just wearing real long gloves every day? And you're like, yeah, I got it from this weird podcast I'm a subscriber to.
But, you know, the good news is if I'm ever invited to like a gala, you know, or a masquerade or something, I'll have some nice full arm length gloves.
There you go. It's going to look great. Yeah.
Real good.
They're moisture wicking. It'll be like, those look like they're for running, not for dancing in a fancy ball.
Well, you know, they could be for both.
You can be like, you know what? You know what? The way I dance, it is sport.
Right, that's exactly it.
I dance more than you know.
Right, right. Yeah. So whether I'm playing pickleball or dancing, I'm sweating the same amount.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, so pickleball gloves. You heard it here first.
There you go.
Jay, how was Pokemon Worlds?
Dude, Pokemon Worlds was amazing. It was so much fun. It was like, I mean, easily just one of the best trips I've ever been on.
I'm a little overwhelmed based on your description because every single time I texted you trying to get words out of you while you were on the trip,
yeah,
I would be like, Jay, how's the trip going? And you'd be like, good. And it's like,
well, I feel we had like our world chat that was very active.
I need more. I need more information.
Just too busy having fun, Ben.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Oh man. Okay. No, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. So it seemed like it was a really cool occasion. And the thing that to me made it like even cooler is that Pokemon Worlds is not always in the United States.
Right.
Hard stop.
Yeah.
And then this was also the like Pokemon Worlds for the year 2025.
Yeah.
And Pikachu, who is like the most famous Pokemon.
The Pokemon
in the Pokedex is number 25. So he kind of became like a mascot of the event, it seems.
Right. I mean, Pikachu is always going to be front and center almost no matter what.
Yeah, but it seemed like there's a lot of like 25 like merch.
There was. There for sure was. I mean, all the merch stuff had 25 on it. And then because Pikachu is also 25 in the decks, that's like, it works so well.
It does.
25 is such a nice clean number. Two,
right?
You know, it's like right there. That was my number in soccer in high school. Fun fact.
Nice.
25.
That's very cool.
That was my number for a while.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, it was. I mean, it was just an absolute blast, top to bottom, and it felt like we were just constantly busy doing stuff the whole time we were there. The way we worked it was that you, like me and you, had both been invited, but then. You had this beach trip that you went on, so we like kind of like shifted some stuff around, and we're able to finagle Steven to go in your stead.
Yes, which was it was very nerve wracking because it was like, is this gonna work? And it did work.
Yeah.
So he was able to go. But I don't think that we fully knew it was going to work until he had flown across the entire country.
Yeah. Yes.
So there was like 5 days leading up to it where we were like, okay, we have the flights and the lodging and all of the things for you guys to get there. We won't know till you get there whether or not this works.
Right.
So I think that was the other big thing is I just kept being like, have you guys made it yet? Have you guys made it? Have you made it?
Yeah.
How's everything going?
You're there.
Right.
But we did make it. It was great. But because you had signed up, then like they'd given you and me each a slot to go visit like the Pokemon Center, which is like if you ever go to like PokemonCenter.com, it's where you buy all of the Pokemon merch made by the Pokemon company, like the official merch store.
Yes.
And they only really have like Pokemon Centers, the stores in Japan. But if you go to a Pokemon World, they will build a Pokemon Center or like, you know, put one in a convention hall or something. And it was just massive. Like it basically filled an entire hall of just like this snaking maze of Pokemon merch that you could sift through and sort and find just one of anything, it seemed like.
Yeah, I mean,
if you wanted it.
Like, I was getting all the videos, and it was just sort of like, wow, this is a lot. And it was all really good.
It was all really good. Like, if there is any brand on Earth that has got, like, more cool products for their franchise than Pokemon. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe Disney is like second, but I don't think Disney stuff is even as good as the Pokemon Center stuff.
I think you might be right. Like, you brought me back like a duffel bag. And
yeah.
It's got these like patches on it. And what it reminded me so much of is this company that like Alice, you know, brought forth to me at one point in time. And I got it for her as a gift. But it's like a Stony Clover is the brand.
Yeah, yeah. Beth has actually hilariously a Stony Clover bag that has her name on it, and it's covered in Plutos, so it's actually a Disney product then.
Okay. So in that case, it actually is very cool.
Yeah, it's very Disney.
That's a good point. But like, yeah, it's one of those where like when you buy like the Stony Clover bag, like for one, you're already getting like a nice quality like bag itself, like the materials, the zipper pulls, like all the things are like really high end. But then you can like individually like buy patches to like customize it like in different colors and stuff, and they're just like very beefy, like good quality patches. And so as soon as I saw this duffel bag, I was like, god, this is almost like a Stony Clover like Pokemon bag,
yeah,
but like perfectly executed. Like it's just gorgeous.
That's just sort of how it is. Like everything is really, really well done, and they have really good branding for the event itself. So the way a lot of different like Pokemon merch works at these events is that they'll have like all the stuff you could just go online and find that they just brought with them to sell. But then they'll have the like world's exclusive merch.
Yeah.
And that's all the stuff they made just for the event. You can only get it while you're there, and it'll be themed around the event itself, around the world championships. And so like the duffel bag was a world's exclusive duffel bag.
Yeah.
And anything that is Pokemon, that is world's exclusive, like the resale value of it like skyrockets. It becomes like very like desirable, very wanted, and like that's the stuff that's going to sell out first.
But that's why I feel like the Pikachu stuff was so cool, because I can't be absolutely certain, but I want to say like the bag says like 25 on it.
Yeah.
And like sometimes if you buy like a piece of merch that says like, you know, Disney World 2013, it's like if you weren't there in 2013, it's kind of like, well, like, you know,
right,
like I don't have a relationship with Disney World 2013.
Exactly. I come across this with the pins all the time.
Right.
Where it'll
yes,
be like,
yeah.
Yeah, like I have got a collection of Pluto pins that do say like, you know, 2023, 2024, but I was there
for
each
pins
of those years. Like I bought them during the year, but like I'll see them online, and it'll be like Pluto 2019. And I'm like, I didn't go.
Right. Like if it happened to be like, you know, like Pluto 1943, the day that Pluto was announced, like that would be ridiculously
cool. Well, that would be
cool.
Insane. Yeah.
Like, cause then it's not about the date. It's like, the date signifies like an important part of the history.
Yeah.
Hence why 25 is so cool for all of this stuff.
It is. It makes it so much better, because even if you look at it and you don't realize it's the year, you might just think it's Pikachu.
Yeah, precisely.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's really good. But then like there was this big like sort of event logo. So for the event, it's like there's 1,000 Pokemon. So like how do they zero in on which Pokemon are going to be the Pokemon? I don't know. But obviously Pikachu is like the big mascot. But then they had like a collection of maybe 10 Pokemon total that were like, these are sort of like the overall event mascots. So you had like Jigglypuff and Machamp and Murkrow and Chespin and Toadschool, and like sometimes it seems like I can see why they went with this one. There's like Fennekin and Chespin, which are both starter Pokemon. You're like, of course, yeah, put some starters in there,
right?
Give them some love. Machamp, yeah, he's kind of like, they kind of have like a varsity jacket kind of vibe going. You're like, yeah, he looks like a jock, sure,
right?
Sure,
right,
but then some you're like, I don't know, like Toadschool, like I guess he's cool, but you're like, are they just throwing him in there to like try and like get you to like Toadschool, like because that's like a like if you remember Tentacool, Toadschool is like the Galarian version of that Pokemon. It's just like a walking mushroom, and you're like, is that, I don't know, like the good luck Pokemon Company, nice try, I see what you're up to.
Do we love this one? I don't know.
But then you know what, Ben, I walked away with a crew neck sweatshirt that just says Toadschool on it, and I freaking love it. It's so soft and comfy.
That's awesome.
And I wore it in the video last week, so you got me. And now I'm like, I do like Toadschool because I got this sweatshirt now.
Oh man, so they got through to you.
They got through. I was like, man.
Okay, another cool thing that you guys did send me in my limited comms.
Yes. I felt like we were pretty active.
Was as like being there under like a content creator badge, they gave you exclusive pins that only were given to like content creators, which to me I feel like speaks to the fact that the Pokemon Company again just fully and completely gets what people love about all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like the unique methodology and everything. But like, basically, if my interpretation is correct, they gave you 10 pins that only the content creator badge came with, which meant that you had the ability to then trade them out into the world,
yeah.
Which, to the best of my understanding, you did.
Yes. Yes, we did. This was such a stroke of genius and one of my fate. Like, I thought other cons need to do this because it was such a fun part of it. So yeah, when we got our badges, they gave me like 10 Murkrow pins, and they had like a pin hunt as part of the overall Pokemon Worlds event.
Okay.
And like, we didn't get too involved with the hunt itself, but they all had this sort of like cool minimalist design to them, where it would be like an outline of the Pokemon in question, and they all had like a different shape associated with them. And it was all of the Pokemon I just mentioned who were like the mascots of the event. So there was like a Murkrow one, a Pikachu one, a Machamp one, a Toadstool, whatever.
Yeah.
And there were different ways in which you could go get them. And it was kind of similar to when me and you were at Star Wars Celebration earlier this year, where it was like,
yeah,
you got to visit this booth and do something there and they'll give you the pin or whatever. Okay. But where it was different was that at Star Wars Celebration, it was very much like a sponsored sort of thing. It was like, yeah, you got to go to that booth, but then you got to buy $50 worth of stuff and they'll give you the pin.
Right. Which made it very like cost prohibitive in a lot of situations, because
yeah,
like some of the stuff that you needed to buy was quite expensive. So it's like, if you didn't want that thing, or like, you know, for us, like we had traveled from literally across the globe, like we just didn't have that much room to bring
exactly
that much stuff,
yeah,
back. Yeah,
yeah.
So it becomes like a thing.
Yeah, but this was all, as far as I could tell, the way in which you got every pin to fill up your pin hunter thing was by doing free stuff. It just maybe meant like you had to like go wait in the line, but like at the end of the line, it was like, experience this booth, and this booth is playing a new game or something. You know,
sure.
It was like you know,
things you'd want to do as part of the event, anyway.
Right? This was just like, make sure you see all the parts of the event, kind of thing. But then they gave, one of the things you had to do was actually go trade a pin with someone who had a creator badge and had the Murkrow pins, because that was the only way to get those, which one encouraged the creators then to be out on the floor and like interacting with people.
It's brilliant.
Which is so smart, I think. And it gives you, the creators, instant good like interactions.
Trade fodder. Yeah.
With everyone, because you have something they want and they have a reason to come talk to you now. And you've got like, we had like 10, and then you were able to go refill each day, and they gave us like 5 more each or whatever. And I went through all of them.
Oh, wow. You know? That's great.
Yeah. So that it worked really well. But it was like weird how long, like you could see like throughout the event, people were like catching on to how the pin hunt went. Cause like on Friday, like almost nobody was like caught on to it yet. It was like a much slower day, but then Saturday it was like really ratcheted up. And by Sunday, people were like, do you have one? Like, I just traded the last one. Ah, sorry.
Oh man. That's so cool though.
Yeah. But like, even if you ran out, it still gave people a reason to like come talk to you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I think that like to me, that works. It's very symbiotic. Like it's not only good for like the content creator's experience, but I think it's also good for the attendees experience. And I think, yeah, you're right. Like it opens a dialogue, because I know sometimes like we've had people like message us and they're like, I saw you at Disney, but I didn't want to like bother you. And it's like, it's okay. You can say hi. Like,
right.
You know, like, and it gives like a way for that to open up. So that's really neat. It's very clever.
Yeah. It was really clever. I was like, this was such a fun part of it. And then of course I just like pins anyway.
Naturally.
The tricky thing was though, that was like, you had to trade the creator a pin, which typically meant like you didn't want to trade any of your event pins, because when you would go get them, they would like scan your badge and that would be like, you're okay, we've handed that person their pin for the event or whatever.
Okay.
So you couldn't go like get a second one or something.
Okay.
Which meant like, if you were trying to get the other event badges, it would be hard to be like, oh, I've got my Murkrow pin, can I have your Fennekin pin? They'd be like, well, no, because I can only get one of these. And it'd be like, ah, that does make sense. Yes.
Right. Right.
Now, some people would be like, they were just friends with the person who was doing the pin hunt and like they got one, but like they didn't care.
Okay.
And they'd be like, it was cooler to them to trade for the Murkrow than it was to have the one they got.
I see.
Or whatever.
I see.
So yeah. I ended up with like 4 or 5 of like the event pins, but not like all of them.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, we didn't have time to go do all the things, because me and Steven were doing our own thing. We were playing in all the side events we could.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it almost seemed like you got to go and I feel like experience things in like one of the best possible ways, which was that like you weren't going with this like huge weight of pressure that I feel like maybe can sometimes be associated with like the regional tournaments that you guys have done, where it's kind of like, it's like, dude, did you guys like, did you eat enough? Did you get enough sleep? Like, are you drinking lots of water? Like, it feels like you're at like a soccer tournament or something like that, or a cross country meet, or, you know, something. It's like, there's pressure. You're there to perform.
Right.
And this was almost just sort of like, dude, we're here. We get to go and be involved with the event. We can do everything we want to do.
Yeah.
And seemed like you guys were killing it.
Oh my gosh, we were. And that was exactly it. It was like, for all of the different events that we've gone to before, like Star Wars Celebration was a pretty good one, because it was like, you know, we didn't really have any obligations outside of going to like the VR booth or whatever and trying the stuff out, which we did. And that was fun on its own.
Yes.
And then after that, I was like, yeah, go do whatever you want. And we did a pretty good job visiting like all the shops and booths and stuff. But the thing about that con was that like, the way to experience it, maybe in its fullest capacity, would be like to like have signed up on time to like sign up to get in like autograph lines or to meet cast members or
for sure
stuff like that. That because we had just been brought out, we didn't have any like access to do any of that stuff.
Right. We never got the link that was like, hey, sign up for your meet and greets now.
Exactly. So to that end, it was like once we'd seen all the booths and did all of our shopping, it was sort of like, well, we've sort of done it.
Yeah, that's all we can really do.
Yeah, that's
now.
All we can really do now. But this was not like that. You didn't have to sign up for tournaments like days and weeks in advance or anything like that. It was like all on site, day of, you know, go on to Arcanine, sign up, get in, boom, bam, you're ready to go.
Okay.
So we got there, and on the first day we signed up for a format me and Steven both really like called Gym Leader Challenge, which is like a different way to play the Pokemon game.
Yeah, it's like if you've ever played through Pokemon before, you've basically got like a gym leader. It specializes in a specific type of Pokemon. So like Brock has rock type Pokemon.
Yes.
So like you would have only rock, or well, I guess it's not really like a trading card rock, but fighting.
Fighting. You'd have only fighting cards, and you can only have like one of any given card in your deck except for like the basic energy, which is like how you power up the attack and stuff like that. So it gets like it has like its own little meta and stuff, but you're playing the regular game. It's just like the rules around what can be in your deck is different. It's like Commander if you play that in Magic, or if you're a Magic the Gathering kind of person.
Nice.
Yeah. But it is super fun. So we go to like we play that in town a lot, like our local card shop Star City Games has a weekly GLC tournament that me and Steven try and go to, and it was really fun to play in like a much bigger tournament. So the one we played in, I think it had 78 people in it.
Yeah. And how'd you do?
I went 4-0.
Did that mean you like won?
I think at least tied for first then, because I think they didn't have like a top eight or anything to like whittle it down, but only four people got 4-0.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's insane.
So as far as I'm concerned, yes, I won.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna declare that. That's great.
Yes, I mean, and that was so exciting too, because it was just like, man, and like I had all the week leading up to it, I'd been like going down and trying to like prepare what cards I was gonna bring and stuff, and I'd had this like electric deck for GLC forever that I'd gotten really experimental with, and I was like, let me just bring it back to basics and try, just, you know, bring it back here. And me and Steven were like playtesting it in the lobby the night before, and I was like, man, this one just feels so good. I think I'm gonna play this one tomorrow. And then I won the whole thing, and I was like, man, that was fantastic. It was like such a good feeling, you know?
That is a great feeling.
Yeah.
And again, going back to like the event architecture, I feel like the cool thing about it is that there's these side events, but what do you get when you win the side event?
You get prize wall tickets.
Prize wall tickets.
Yes.
But they're not tickets like for things like a Chuck E. Cheese, where it's like you want to go and buy like one of those little like frog things that you push
like much better prizes for sure. I mean, it's all Pokemon stuff, predictably.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of like Pokemon plushies and a lot of like you know, like TCG, like, you know, elite trainer boxes and stuff like that. But there are a few more like higher tier things that are a little bit more harder to get, you know. Right. And so one of the really cool things you can get at any given Pokemon Worlds is the like the world's promo card, which if you are a competitor in the event or a staff member, you will get one of these automatically. And it's just what is even the name of the card? It is like Paradise City, I think.
Okay.
It's a completely useless card in terms of like, you could put it in a deck. That would be really dumb. But it doesn't like help you play the game at all. It's literally just like, this is the world's card.
It's like a very scarce collector's card.
Right. It's like you can only get it here. There's only so many. But it has this stamp on it that says, you know, World Championship 2025. And in order to get that from the prize wall, to get it outside of being a competitor and without having to purchase it, you had to get 500 points to the prize wall.
Okay.
Which definitely took some work to get up there.
Right.
Winning the first tournament helped a lot. That's where like a huge chunk of my tickets came from.
Sure, sure. Yeah,
as you could imagine. But it was like we did ultimately get it. And then the second day, like me and Steven spent like the whole day just kind of like grinding little side events. We tried to like gamify it a little and like go to these like really short little tournament things where you could like, it was called pack battles where everyone would open like two packs and that's your deck. And you know, you would just battle real quick and go and get back in line again kind of thing.
Okay. Okay.
Which I think would have worked better on the first day before it was so crowded. Cause the second day it was like, well, you could do it and the battles went quick, but then when you get back in line, the line would be like another like half an hour again.
and that would
slow you down.
Okay. Okay.
So that was, I mean, it was still super fun. But, you know, it wasn't as fast turnaround, but at the same rate, you're like, well, even if it was slower, like it was probably more than if we just played in 1 4-hour tournament. I don't, you know, hard to say.
Right. Right.
It's like, depends on how well you did, I guess. I don't know.
So, okay. So you've got this though. You got like one of the very exclusive event cards.
Yes.
And then the other cool thing that they had going on was you could sign up for lotteries to purchase rather exclusive items.
Yes.
So it was like you're submitting for a chance to be able to buy something.
Exactly. Yeah. That was sort of like, even when I was signing up, I was like, what is this now? Like, am I obligated to buy it if I win the raffle? You know?
Right. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny too, because we do this in Virginia quite a bit, like the like ABC store. Is that what it's always called?
Yeah.
In different states? Like,
oh yeah. Some places, I mean, you can just get liquor anywhere, you know?
Okay. Well, in Virginia, you buy them at specific store. You can only buy liquor at specific stores called Virginia ABC store. And there's like a particular kind of bourbon that's especially difficult to get. Just and it's not even like obscenely expensive. It's called Blanton's.
Yeah.
But I would say it's probably you and my favorite.
Oh yeah.
Bourbon.
Yeah, it's up there.
It's very good. Yeah.
It's very good.
And the cool thing about it is like there's like a little statue on the cork on top, and then like you can collect the different statues and they will, it's a horse. It's a man riding a horse. And then like, as you get like Blanton's, it is literally the horse going through the stages of like racing.
Yeah.
Where like in the beginning at B, it's just standing still. And then at S, it's like the little rider has like his hand in the air, like as if he's like won the race or whatever. So it's fun, because then if you can collect all the letters and you have like the whole collection, the whole set. Anyway, because of this though, it's super rare. And so a lot of times if you want to buy it, you have to like literally sign up for the chance to buy it.
Right. Yes.
So that's what it reminded me of.
That is exactly kind of what it's like. So, for the Pokemon Center where they had all the stuff, I signed up for basically every lottery I could. It wasn't like just choose a few or whatever. It was like, when you're signing up online, it's like, would you like to sign up for this lottery? Would you like to sign up for this lottery? And it was like, yes, I'm signing up for all of them. What do you mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't do it? All of it? Yeah.
But like, so I guess there were like three sort of like, there like a lot of the things you could win vouchers for then were like just like other ETBs, stuff like that, like kind of like smaller tier things. But there were three big items, one of which was a statue of the Red Gyarados.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I did see a few of them that people had bought, and they were really cool. They were huge, and it was like shooting a hyper beam out, and that was cool.
Nice.
Then there was the Pokemon Jukebox, which I want to say was like maybe about as tall at like between our trophy and the duck here, if you're watching us.
Okay. So maybe like 12 to 16 inches.
Yeah, 12 to 16 inches tall. And I remember when I signed up, like I had no idea what it meant by Pokemon Jukebox. Like part of me was like, are they going to have like a single like real jukebox or something that someone will win?
When you told me, like, that's almost what I was picturing, was like a full sized like small vending machine.
Yeah.
Jukebox.
And I was like, I mean, I guess I'll sign up. Like, I mean, what if I get it and I have to buy a jukebox? Like, how are we going to do it? We'll cross that bridge and we'll come to it.
We'll get it home somehow.
We'll get it home.
Yeah.
And then there was the Bear Walker World's Exclusive Skateboard, which, of course, I don't know if you guys know, but we love the Pokemon skateboards.
We do. We have so many of them.
We have so many of them.
It's really like one of those things that's become absolutely comical, because I remember they released like a few of them and it was like, we were like, wow, these are so cool. But they were kind of like obscure Pokemon. And then they were like, we're going to do the whole like evolution line. And we were like, okay, we kind of have, like, that's amazing.
No, those are amazing.
It's like, that's like, you know, and on some level it's funny too, because it's like, you know, it almost feels like you're attempting to make these like little, like, investments. Like it reminds me very much of like when we were kids and like Beanie Babies were coming out, mm-hmm. and you were sort of like, maybe if you get some of the rare ones, like one day these will be worth something. Like sometimes I have that feeling where it's like, I understand that we're probably like investing way too much in something like these skateboards that we're not putting to specific use. But then it's like, if you've got the whole set and it's like 50 years from now,
yeah,
and who has the whole set at that point in time?
Exactly.
We do.
We do. We've got all the EVs and the world's exclusive Pikachu because I won the skateboard lottery, which is to say that when I got to the Pokemon Center, when I was checking out already with my giant bag of stuff,
yeah,
they hand you a voucher and they're like, take this to the register, and then they give you a receipt, and then you have to get in a different line to cash in your voucher, which means that, well, I mean, you have to pay for it right there, and then they give you the voucher, and then you go in another line, and then they hand you the skateboard, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I did it. Amazing. This is great.
Were people like coming up to you being like, no way you got one?
Yes.
No way. I mean, oh, that's so cool.
It seemed like there were, amongst those three, those were like the three big ones, the jukebox, the statue, and the skateboard. And it seemed like the skateboard was the most coveted prize. So I was like, I couldn't believe I got it. And I was so happy that's the one I won, because we already collect the skateboards.
We do.
And this was like the crown jewel of our exclusive worlds stuff.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
But then it was just like, so the Pokemon Center was really cool. Like each of the kids had given me like, you know, their favorite kind of like, what's your favorite Pokemon? What am I looking for? Luke gave me a list of like 7, and hilariously, I could like barely find any of his.
No way.
Yeah. Of course. Was, cause his were like a smidge more obscure. Not that much. Whereas then like Nate was just like Jolteon, and I was like, okay, anything else? Like in case there's not like more than like one Jolteon thing, he's like, just Jolteon. And I'm like, okay. That, you know, could be tricky.
You're putting a lot of eggs in that Electro basket.
Putting a lot of eggs in that basket. And then Nick really likes Squirtle. So it was just like Squirtle and Gyarados for him. And I'm like, it's not going to have any problem finding Squirtle stuff.
Right.
It's like one of the main four Pokemon, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So I did go through and found them all. Luke wanted Porygon. That's like one of his favorite Pokemon.
Okay.
Which is just one of the most obscure Pokemon of the original 150 of them all.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of Porygon merch out there, and I was not thinking that we were going to find a lot of stuff for it, but sure enough, like Steven spots it like across the wall one moment. He's like, is that a Porygon plushie? And I was like, and I like ran across, and there was a whole bunch of them, but I couldn't believe we found one.
That's awesome.
So that was exciting. Got that for got everyone keychains. Apparently like the like little stuffed animal keychains, that's like very in at the moment.
Yeah. Is there, I don't even know what they're called. I feel like there's a thing right now.
They're that's like Balubu or something.
Yeah. I was going to call them Lulus.
Yeah. So people are going to be like, you guys are so dumb.
I know. Maybe it's fun to watch us try.
I know Steven knew what they were, and he kept pointing them out everywhere. But besides that, I mean, just everyone had some kind of, even if it wasn't Pokemon, just like stuffed keychain thing on their bag hanging there. And the kids had started school, so someone in Luke's class had the exact same backpack as him, and Beth was like, you had to get them all keychains so they can tell their backpacks apart.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, I'm on it. So I got Luke an Eevee keychain because he liked Eevee as well. Jolteon turns out to be a great pick. That tons of Jolteon stuff. Turns out everyone loves the Eeveelutions.
That's great. That's great.
So we got like a little pop vinyl. It got like a little, they had a Ditto face Jolteon, which I thought was hilarious.
That is cool.
It was like, like Ditto has that like derpy face that when he transforms, or in the anime anyway. So they had just like a Jolteon that had the Ditto face. That was really good. And then I got him a Jolteon keychain, which I couldn't believe had all three. I was like, man, there you go.
So, I mean, did you bring a second bag just to get stuff home?
Well, yes and no. Like I brought like a checked bag that I put, this was kind of funny too. I brought like my big checked bag, which I put my clothes in, and I only filled up like, I don't know, not even 50% of it with my clothes.
Okay.
You know, so like one half of it was completely empty, and then there was even some on the other side. And then I had my carry-on bag, which I filled up with all the cards I was actually bringing to the event.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm not putting my cards into the check bag. What if they lose it? You know, you can lose my clothes, not my cards.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, but so I had plenty of room for tons of merch, and I got tons of merch. I mean, There was all that stuff. I got a bunch of Squirtle stuff for him. I got this giant Squirtle puppet, which is maybe my favorite thing that we have now. It is hilarious. They love to sit there and like have me like fight them with it, where it like headbutts them and then they tackle it. And I don't know. I can like yell at them with it because it's a puppet and it's so funny.
That's great.
The Squirtle puppet's great. I would recommend that if you go to Pokemon Center. But then, so you had the official, that's the official shop, you know,
okay.
We got like the world's exclusives, but then you've got like the Pokemon black market happening a little bit.
The black market,
if you will.
The inevitable.
Right. So I mentioned like the resale ability of like world's exclusive stuff. And I mean, people are capitalizing on that immediately. Like, you know, Steven walked out, he had like a bag. I thought like, man, you got a bunch of stuff. But you'd see some people come out of the Pokemon Center with like 10 bags of just stuff. And where they were going with that stuff was back over to the hotel lobby, where they were going to take it out and spread it out and just like have a little like vendor spot for themselves, where they're going to try and like flip all the merch they just got for people who weren't going to go to the Pokemon Center but still wanted the stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, got to pay that premium all of a sudden to get it. But I mean, this was a lot of people's strategy. But then amidst that, there was also like the people who like flew in from China or Japan or Taiwan or something.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of like international cards or merch, like stuff they don't make here in America. Cause like they don't, it's not like they just print everything and then send it all over the world. It's like some stuff is exclusive to different countries. Like they don't print good sleeves in America, like that come with the Pokemon products.
Yeah. Right.
Surprisingly. But if you go to like Japan, their sleeves are great and they're fun and they look cool. And so there were sleeves as far as you could see to put your decks in and stuff. And all these cool designs that had different characters and Pokemon on them and stuff. But like by the time it was like, I don't know, 9 or 10 o'clock on the first night of the lobby, I mean, there was like barely a square inch of like unutilized vendor space. It was like you had, and this is all like very like unofficial, you know, it's just people spreading their stuff out.
Sure.
And I mean, it was like you walked into like a bazaar, you know, like and it's all like this like kind of like loosey goosey fast like money, like, you know, it's kind of like under the table a little bit, because probably you're not supposed to be setting this stuff up with like business licenses. And it's kind of like, oh, I'm from Japan, I don't really speak English, or I, you know, I only take, you know, Venmo or PayPal or cash. And, you know, you didn't, you know, like, how am I going to get your, or some people are just trading for cards or for like, I'll trade you, you know, this piece of merch for that piece of merch. It was just very like big bartering system happening like everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like the thing that like walks the finest line,
yeah,
where it's like, this could be great unless it turns very sour.
Right.
Because it's like, there's not like a governance over top of it, where it's exactly like you said, it's a black market. It's just right. Sort of like, you know, you're not really like the certified reseller of this thing.
Right.
You're someone with like a little table in a right. spot.
But then like in the middle of that, of course, like some people are there like trying to flip wares they just bought. Some people are there, you know, trying to sell merch they brought to buy their plane ticket home, you know? People are just there just to trade cards because they just came to the world and they just want to trade cards.
Yeah.
And then you got people just sitting at some tables just like playing cards, you know, not doing any trading, just like in the middle of it, there's just the game happening.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like every which way you turn, there's people crowding around each one. You kind of got to get the attention of the person like this, and then you're negotiating and trying to figure out what you can get for what and all that. And
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Washington Red Raspberries. You know how eating healthy sometimes feels like a punishment? Like, congrats, here is your charred, yeah, hard pass. But that's why I'm personally obsessed with frozen Washington Red Raspberries, because these are not just any raspberries. They are grown by American family farmers in Washington State, picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours so they keep all that fresh off the field flavor. You know the stuff. There's no added sugar, just pure fruit magic, and they're loaded with fiber, vitamin C, and antioxidants. Oh, and they're only 80 calories a cup. Boom! Mic drop. Or, I mean, my mic is actually attached to like a stand, but you know. I personally toss them in smoothies, swirl them into yogurt, even sprinkle them onto oatmeal. It's just an instant upgrade. They're naturally low in sugar, and like I said, super high in fiber, and honestly, one of the best kept secrets in the freezer aisle. And you can pretty much snag them anywhere. Costco, Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. Just look for Product of the U.S. on the bag. Bonus, keep an eye out for gems like the Kirkland's 3-Berry Blend Muffins at Costco, or Smucker's Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables. Those are actually Addison's favorite. So support local American farmers and get year-round flavor? Yes, please. Hit up redraz.org, that's redraz.org, for recipes, tips, and more raspberry greatness.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, it's like, I can't help but feel like there is something about this event that works so much better than I feel like all the other events that I've gone to, because there's like the central focus of the thing is so like the Pokemon umbrella is, it's just like one franchise, but it extends in so many different directions,
yeah,
that everybody's enjoying the same thing in slightly different ways.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you're there because this is the world. So this is a competitive stage for the best people who play the game. Like that is like the really big center of all of it. But then surrounding that, it's like you've got people who play the game in a competitive fashion. You've got people who play offshoots of the game. You've got people who just are simply collectors. But then you've got like the merch that features all of the characters from the games. You've got the video games. Like it seems like it all works so well in a way that, like, if you go to like some of the other major like fan related events, people might be there for any number of 20 to 30 different fandoms.
Right.
You know, or like even if you go to like a D23 type thing, it's like we're all Disney fans, but like maybe slightly different branches of Disney. Like
right.
Maybe this is like a Marvel thing, a Star Wars thing, a Disney animation thing, you know, like whatever, you know, it's like,
yeah.
There's so many different kinds of projects, but this one just literally seems like in the best possible way, like a black hole where the gravitational force is all just like drawing everybody in
just
closer and tighter and more.
Everyone just loves Pokemon, you know, in like whatever form it takes. And the thing is, it's like, it's weird how like it is so branched out, and yet like even within like the Star Wars fandom or whatever, it's like you have people who are like upset with certain Star Wars things they're making, or like they think Star Wars should just be movies, it shouldn't be TV shows, or it's like Star Wars means a very specific thing to a lot of people.
Sure.
Whereas like Pokemon, it's like Pokemon is everything. It's like everyone who likes Pokemon is just like, what is it, the games? Is it the cards? Is it the manga? Is it the anime? Is it just the vibes? Is it the collecting? Is it the battling? You know,
it doesn't seem like anybody's really put off by any of the facets of the multifaceted way that you can experience it.
Exactly. It's like, and they interweave it all so well. But like, yeah, it was that was really cool. But so like it is like this like little, so the black market, though, we were staying at the Hilton, and like they brought down eventually like their security guards and sort of like busted out and like told everyone they had to leave.
Sure.
And then it was sort of a bummer because then they wouldn't even let you like just trade or even just battle down in the lobby, which was like, is like the most innocent thing you could be doing.
Right. It's like, yes. Yeah. Like that's almost like, no, wait, no, we may have overcorrected.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, you know what? We don't know what's good and what's bad, so we have to assume it's all bad.
Right.
It's kind of, and they're like kind of protecting themselves or whatever. Which, you know, that's fine. That's whatever. But then what was kind of funny is that the next night it was like, okay, all right, well, we can't go to the Hill, and everyone just went to the Marriott across the street, you know. So me and Steven got back from like our day of competing and dropped our bags and loaded them up with our trade binders and headed across. And this place was even crazier now, because now it was Saturday night. So now like even more people had funneled in for the event. And like they're like the Hilton lobby, very well lit place, very high ceilings, very like bright area.
Yeah.
You know, lots of stuff. The Marriott, completely different vibe. It is like low ceilings. It is dim lighting. They have this big central ring kind of in the center, and people had set up around the ring, and then they have these little pocket corridors off to the side, and it was just like, I mean, it was such a vibe, you know.
That's awesome.
Like you're sort of walking around, you just feel like you're in a whole different world, trying to like going through people's binders and looking through their stacks of stuff and seeing, you know, am I going to trade you cards? Do I need to pay you money? And you get the sense like, you know, something good is here that you can get. And, you know, you look through some people's stuff and it's like they've clearly invested so much in it, or they have such like a unique collection, or it's like this is cool. I don't want it, but I'm cool. I'm glad I got to see it.
Right. You know? I appreciate it as a fan. Yeah.
And then, you know, me and Steven found this guy just like a big, like big box of like just rows of cards. And it was like all stuff from before we started collecting, even just like commons and stuff. And like for the format, we like the gym leader challenge format. It's like a lot of those cards can be harder to come by because what you need is in fact some of just like the common or like not big holofoil cards from that era of the game.
Right.
Just kind of like the regular rare cards, which no one ever just puts in their binder because they're not really they're not really that impressive.
Sure.
But in fact, they are desirable, which makes them kind of weirdly harder to find. So I mean, we spent maybe half an hour going through like one guy's thing, and then you know you're getting to the end and you know they're trying to you hand them it's sort of weird because like you'll hand the guy like a stack of like singles you pulled out of this and it's like 15 cards and they're kind of going through it. It's like, are they gonna look up every single card and do it? You could tell the guy I handed mine to was just getting tired of it. Was just like $10 for all of it, and I was like, sold, you know.
Man, that's
you're good.
That's wild. Yeah. Like, were you intimidated at all? Like, I feel like you've always done a good job, like even at Disney with the pin trading stuff. It's like you can kind of go up to these people that I feel like are like they one way or another, they know more about it than the average person.
I mean, because they're trying to make a profit and like they're used to wheeling and dealing and stuff like this.
Right.
And yeah, especially, I mean, there's always going to be people who are going to try and like, you know, take advantage of you or whatever. But I felt a little more educated in this realm and I kind of knew what I was looking for. And, you know, right. I had cards to trade too. And like, that was what I brought them for. So it wasn't like that weird. So it was like, you're always afraid of that, but I wasn't too concerned with it. And like another trade I did was, with a guy who, I guess he was from China, 'cause that's where all of his cool stuff was from, but he had this cool, like, it was like a, like deck box and dice box and play mat and like card sleeves. It was almost like a matching set on this like really cool, like rainbow Eevee pattern that had this like silver lining all around it. And I was letting him look through my trade binder and he's like, okay, but like, I have to find something I really like. And yeah, I mean, I was like, oh, this guy is going to clearly not like any of my stuff because it's in English and, you know, he's going to have expensive taste. And he went through and he picked out like four cards, all of which I had like doubles of. And he was like, I gave him like four cards and he gave me all that product. And I was like, that was amazing. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's like,
and well, I can't tell if I walked away and he was like, man, I got a good deal. 'Cause I walked away and I'm like, man, I got a huge deal on that guy. You know?
That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny too. 'Cause it's like, you know, maybe back home for him, this stuff is like fairly commonplace or like, you know, when we buy the cards for box breakers, sometimes we have to buy them in, these like collector sets that like, are, you know, it's like this one comes with a poster. This one comes with a deck box. This one comes with a bag. Like, you know, there's sometimes like specialty merch that you can only get if you buy like a specific SKU. And like, so we go through and we have to buy a lot of this stuff because we need so many packs to open for the Box Breakers show that we end up with like a lot of like spare, like, I don't want to call it junk because it's obviously not junk, but we have way too much of it. Like,
yeah.
You know, dice sets and coins.
Promo cards.
And exactly. So like, it could be something that we have an enormous abundance of that could be meaningful to somebody else, but it's like, but we don't need more than one.
Right.
You know, so like, it could be the case, that he's like, I got a reasonably valuable card and you got something you can't buy where you live.
It worked out. Big win-win for both sides on that. And then I used that mat for the rest of the event and every single person I sat down across was like, where did you get that? And I was like, I traded a guy in the lobby, man.
You pulled it out and I was like when I got into the office this morning, I was like, that is so sick.
Yeah. I have like a freaking weakness for mats and sleeves and stuff though. I think I walked away with four new playing mats.
You're gonna need more time to play more Pokemon.
I know. Like, need people to play with, man. Mm-hmm. And then like I'm like, what am I like, you know, I've got my cool Eevee one. I'm like, well, would I ever not use this one? You know, what would the occasion be when I would feel like, nah, I'm gonna bust something else out.
Right. Yeah. Now you've got like the one.
I know, but then I'm like, did you know I got my World's exclusive mat? That's probably pretty cool to put across from somebody. They're like, oh my god, you go to Worlds? I'd be like, yeah, I went to Worlds. That's pretty fun. Then I got my cool Rayquaza mat, which is like giant Wumbo, and it's like die cut, and it looks really cool.
It does look really cool. Yeah.
You know, just, you know, whatever. Got a lot of mats.
Maybe at CastleCon, whenever we start it, we'll have to have like a Pokemon tournament.
We should. We should have like a popcorn culture mat. You know?
Oh, a pop mat.
A pop mat. The one true mat.
The
one true mat bed.
It seems doable.
It does.
Oh man. Okay. Well, that's cool. That's very cool. Anything else happen?
Oh man. Let me see what else. Okay. So the other thing that was really great was just like the people we met, because we met a lot of people because of the pin trading, and a lot of people because like they just recognized me from Super Carlin Brothers. But then just people you met because they were there at a Pokemon event and you were too.
Yeah.
And yep. Like, we went to the first day, we were there on Thursday before the adventure really started, but they had something called like Pokemon Labs that was open. So we went and did that because it was like the only thing we could do. And because they said you got like an exclusive pin, and I was like, well, we got to get that.
Sure.
But it wasn't one of the event pins. Apparently, Pokemon Labs is at every event, and if you go do their little thing, you'll get a different Pokemon Labs pin, which is exclusive to each event. So they all look the same, but they have a different Pokemon on them.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this one was the Pokemon was Mew, and we were like, well, that's cool. That's cool.
Very cool.
Love
yeah,
Mew.
Pretty noteworthy Pokemon.
Yeah, everyone loves Mew. And basically Pokemon Labs is supposed to like teach you how to play the game, which is like, you know, that means to even just know how to play, no problem.
Sure.
But we happened to be standing in line. You needed a group of four. We were standing in line with these other two people, and they were also like veterans of the game, and they were also just there kind of for the pin.
Sure.
And when we sat down, they're like, all right, do you guys like need to be taught how to play the game, or do you already know? And we're like, no, we already know. We all know what we're doing. We're like, they're like, okay, cool. Then we're just going to play a different game. And they just gave us some other little mini game to play against each other. And they were like, great. Thanks for coming. Here's your pin, you know.
That's so cool.
Yeah, super fun. And then, you know, we talked to those people the whole time, and we, you know, just joked while we were standing in line and stuff. And then on Saturday, when me and Steven are grinding for tickets, we signed up for one event called like the Build and Battle, like Tri, like TRI tournament or something, or Tri Team tournament. That's what it was.
Okay.
And so the idea was that they would give, you needed a team of three, and they would give you each a Build and Battle set, which is like a little, anytime there's a new format, they kind of build out these little like sort semi pre-built decks, but then you open like 3 to 4 packs and you like supplement the cards in the deck and switch stuff out so that you all have like slightly different decks.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very, very luck of the draw, very fun format though, really like quick deck building. And the idea was you could pool your three together to build three separate decks, and then all three of you would play at the same time against a different team, and whichever team like won two of the three matches would
win,
count as the winner.
Okay.
So you could like lose one or whatever. But me and Steven are like looking at it, and we're like, well, will it matter that we only have two of us? Cause we don't have like a third buddy, you know, who's here with us.
Right.
So we kind of signed up for it, kind of hoping like, yeah, we'll just get there and we'll just, you know, we'll just wing it for the third person. Like, are we gonna have to do like three matches or something? Like, we'll figure it out. But as we're walking over, it becomes kind of clear that you do need the third person. And fortunately, we just run into those same people from the Pokemon Labs, and one of them, one was like a competitor in the event, and he ended up getting 12th overall in the world, which is insane.
That is really
insane. I was like, holy cow. But his friend was just there as support, and we were like, how super busy are you? And she was just like, she just stood up, and she was like, let's go. And so me and Steven and Michelle just took on the tri-team tournament.
Nice. And
I think she had to leave like after the second round, which was unfortunate. But that was okay, because it was like so cool that it's just like we made a friend, we found her again later, and she was like, yeah, let's go. I'm in. Let's go play, you know.
That's so fun.
Yeah, so that was super fun.
Like I just can't help but feel like, yeah, like this event seems so much better. Like I can't keep coming back to the same point, but like I think when I go to things like this, and maybe it's just not like maybe it's like, even if I want these things to be like perfect for me, like maybe it's possible that they're just like not,
mm-hmm.
you know, like these types of events, but like everything you're describing, like because I feel like a lot of times, like when I'm there, I want like a goal, I want a mission, I want like a thing I can be doing.
Yeah.
And like when we're at Star Wars Celebration, like we had that because we were doing some amount of work while we were there, so it was like we knew we had to do that.
Yeah.
And then we were sort of like doing like the pin collecting portion
right.
of it, which sort of meant like going around and like shopping some stuff and like whatever, but like it felt like really the main way we were interacting with the event was going and finding where the specific pins were and then trying to decide whether or not it was worth whatever additional expense was involved. But then there's like the main stage, and like the main stage is really cool because like you got to see some of the like major actors from the series, like in the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, so you're like looking up at Diego Luna and
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk. Like, you know, it's like those guys are there in person. And the only thing for me, and I don't know like whether or not this would be like more common, whether or not like this is just a me thing, or like, you know, maybe it just doesn't like perfectly tickle the fancy the way that I think it like could or should, but like you almost acclimate to the coolness of that, like a little bit. Like it's like at first you're like, holy crud, like that's them. They're right there. But then it's like, like they're not going to be able to go up on stage and give you some type of like absolutely groundbreaking, holy crap detail about the show. Like,
yeah, they're not going to give you some big reveal. In fact, they're not going to be able to say much at all.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, while you're listening to them talk, you get to see like the way that their chemistry is with one another. Like clearly, like, these two guys, like Alan Tudyk and Diego Luna, are like buddies, and they had a lot of fun on set together. And like, you know, they can sort of be like, you have no idea, like he always seems so serious, but he's actually a goofball, you know. And it's like, and it's fun to hear that Diego Luna is a goofball, because every time you see Cassian on screen, he seems so serious.
Right.
So it's like, oh, okay, like he's a funny guy who just like lives life, and then he's playing his like a character.
Right.
But like, you know, I think for me, I'm always wanting like that juicy nugget, you know, like, ooh, like, you know, like what is there to like learn? So it's like, it's fun to like watch them up there, like dish and go back and forth and everything like that. But like it has a limit to me, to where like, I feel like the interest level does start to like have diminishing returns.
Right.
So I don't know. It's like, I'm curious when people go to these events, like the vendor aspect of it is massive. Like a lot of times you get to go and get like cool exclusive merch that you can't find anywhere else. Sometimes you get to go and find merch you've never even heard of, because they are, you know, like makers. They are like people who like have concocted a cool kind of merch. Like, I feel like we've seen a lot of people in the realm of like D&D that make like cool dice boxes.
Yeah.
That are like, you know, they're like handmade in a wood shop.
Right.
And it's like, okay, that's
insane.
That's neat.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to always see that. But it's the same thing. You know, it's like, there's a limit to the amount of money you can spend.
Right.
Like, you know, you can't buy one of everything. So like, even if you go and soak it all in, it's like, at some point you kind of have to decide like, you know, well, I do kind of already have a dice box. Like, do I want like a handmade one? Like, I don't know. Like, And yeah, the same thing. There's also like the expense of getting to the events and then doing like a meet and greet with like a famous actor.
Right.
Oftentimes those are, you know, like hundreds of dollars.
Right.
To go in and do to have a photo op or get them to sign something. So all I'm really trying, not that I'm trying to say like any of these things aren't awesome, I'm just like really in admiration of how thorough this event was in the ways in which you can interact with it the way that you interact with it is by playing the game.
Yeah.
It's by enjoying the activity.
That was the thing. It was like, we always did have something to do, because our goal was to play as much Pokemon as possible.
Right.
You know?
Right, yeah.
And we found a bunch of different ways to do that. And I don't think we played like in a standard tournament at all.
Okay.
You know, like with like the regular, these are the official tournament rules kind of things. Like, they had them, we could have done them, but we didn't.
Right.
We did like the other little things. And then like this also had like a big main stage area, but because it's the World Championships, like what they had on the main stage was the streams for the four different competitions.
Okay.
So you had like Pokemon Go next to the video game championships, next to Pokemon trading card game, next to Pokemon Unite.
Okay.
And like there was just like big seating areas kind of in front of each of them, where everyone could sit down at any given point and just like watch the game they're interested in kind of unfold. So I remember Saturday night, like, you know, things were starting to die down at the convention center, and me and Steven, of course, like, you know, we're like, man, we have to wake up at like 5 a.m. Once we leave, that's like, that's going to kind of be it. You know, what else can we still do?
Yeah.
And we went over and we're like, well, let's just watch the stream some, because like all the vendors have left, the tournaments are over. And we went over and like the TCG stream had ended for the day, but they were still doing Pokemon Go. And we were like, I mean, it's better than being at the hotel.
Sure.
You know, so let's just, you know, neither of us knew much about competitive Go. I'm not sure if the camera just died. Looked like maybe it did. We have been recording kind of a long time. I don't know. Not that long. All right, we're back up and running. Okay, so Pokemon Go, it's Saturday night. Me and Steven are like, let's just go watch the stream because we don't want to leave yet.
Yeah.
And we sit down, you know, we don't know a ton about Pokemon Go battling. Like, I remember playing it a little bit when I still played Pokemon Go in, like, you know, like 2019 or so.
And Pokemon Go is like the app, right?
The app where you walk around. The 2016 Pokemon Go, like, you know, everyone's outside phenomenon. Yeah, like, it's still going, and they have like a, you know, semi-sophisticated battle system, I guess, especially if you're at like the top level. I came to learn quickly because I remember a lot of the battling was just like tap, 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 and it's like, is that all it is? Just guys tapping their phones? But like, yeah, there's way more to it.
Sure.
Way more stuff happening and like things that I had never considered or whatever. But we sit down and they're like playing out what looked, you know, I wasn't familiar with the bracket or what was happening or whatever, but we watched this guy play. It was Beelzeboy versus Patomon. That's who's playing. And we're like, we watched them go through and, you know, Beelzeboy has like the early lead, but then Patomon comes back and like ultimately gets the win or whatever. And we're like, oh man, well, what a. You know, like, you're going, and even as you're watching, like, I guess, oh man, I already have a fan. I already know who I want to win, you know?
Yeah.
And then they sit up and we're like, that must have been the end of the stream. But no, Beelzebub gets up, goes to the other side of the table. Now he's in the loser's bracket to still possibly have like a last chance qualification for tomorrow for the big arena finals.
Got it.
Yeah. So he sits down, plays against another guy. Now we've seen Beelzebub play twice, and we're like, well, obviously that's our guy. That's our guy.
Naturally, yeah.
That's our man.
We've been lifelong fans for like 12 minutes.
For like 12 minutes, and now, you know, I'm committed. We support you. And he manages to win the loser's bracket, which means now he's back up again. He's actually advancing into tomorrow, where I'm not sure if there was like more rounds or anything, or if that was just sort of it, but it meant that in the finals, the next day I'm like sitting there watching it on the plane because they just had like big championship Sunday, and the arena where they played all the finals was insane.
Was it?
It was like an arena, and like they had a big stage in the middle, and I mean, it looked like they were like freaking Yu-Gi-Oh out there, you know, like not like full 3D holograms, but like interactive floor, player portraits, all their Pokemon surrounding them, you know, live updates happening, just like
That's wild.
It was wild. Go watch the finals. Just, you don't even have to know what's happening. But I turned on, I'm like watching on the plane, just trying to absorb more of the event. And you sit down and oh my gosh, it's Beelzebub versus Patomon again. I'm like, oh my God, we watched this last night. Now it's the rematch for the finals. And it's like in game five. Like, it's like best of five, and it's down to game five.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, can Beelzebub come back and defeat the guy who almost knocked him out of the tournament yesterday? You know, I'm like, he won. He lost the night before and came back and adjusted his strategy and got the win. I was like, and then they interviewing him after the stage, and he's just like this like adorable little Indian boy, and like, they, you know, he's like, we don't get to go to many like in-person tournaments like some of the other people do, and you know, you're just like, oh, and look at that, you managed to like scrape it together and become world champion, you know?
That's amazing.
Like, so cool. So that was really fun, and the fact that we got to see like the first match and then the second match, like, I could, like, we sat down not knowing we were about to watch some rivalry unfold, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Like, what an underdog story.
What an underdog story. So,
I can't wait to see that biopic.
And, yeah, right, the Pokemon.
Beelzebub.
Yeah, Beelzebub. You guys remember Pokemon Go? Yeah. It's still going. So yeah, just top to bottom, all the way down, like the people we got to meet, the tournaments we got to play in, winning one of the GLCs, which was fantastic. It's sort of like, you know, you won a tournament, you won a tournament at Worlds. It's like, yeah, basically like a world champion.
I won
a tournament in this
at Worlds.
It was a big, you know,
it feels like one of those things. It's just like a little like misleading like detail in your resume where it's like, I want a championship at Worlds,
right?
And it's like, are you world champions? Like, well, you know,
it's a side event.
I mean, you know, like, we don't need to go into the specifics of it, but like, I was at Worlds.
They were hosting a tournament, and I won. So
right. I have a T-shirt to prove it.
I have a T-shirt. Yeah. I have a bunch of T-shirts, in fact.
Yeah.
Got a jersey and a tank top and a sweater. Okay.
So now that we've talked about this for like a full hour,
yeah,
I'm curious, like, where does it leave you? Because I think that the people who have been on the Pokemon journey with you, as long as the pop has been going on, have kind of like, it's, I'm sure from their perspective, have witnessed you go through like the like trials and tribulations with the activity, with the hobby.
Yeah.
Where like you've had like some moments where you've been like kind of like separated from it. You've had some moments where you were like deeply into it and you've like been down to regional tournaments and, you know, like you've done it like a bunch of different ways. This was you arriving at the pinnacle of the sport and like getting, I mean, not like competing in it with
in,
it.
Yeah. Not in the world championships. Yeah.
But like, does anything shift? Like, is there any part of you that's like, I'm just happy to be in the room.
Like, dude, I mean, it was like I said before, it was like one of like the best trips I've just ever been on. It was just like very, like, it was so cool being surrounded by so many people who like the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? And like, everyone was just so nice the entire time. Like, I came home, I was on such like a massive Pokemon high. I feel like I still am. Like, we made a Pokemon video last week.
Yeah.
Which was fun to research and stuff and like pull stuff from the Pokedex. And it was about Scyther, you know, my favorite Pokemon.
Naturally.
Of course. You gotta make a Pokemon video, you know.
Right. Now you just gotta live to the year 2123.
Right.
So you can go to the Scyther theme.
Scyther theme Pokemon world.
Yeah,
exactly. Where Pokemon 1, 2, 3 is gonna be the big mascot, obviously.
We're only 98 years away.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, medical advancements, we can make it happen.
We can make it.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt like weirdly like affirming, you know. It was just like, this is just like, it just like, I don't know. It was a really fun event. And it was like, I think I loved the relaxed quality of it too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're playing in it and you're like, there was like a certain amount of nerves, like, you know, oh, I want to make sure I'm, you know, trying to win and stuff like that. But it wasn't like the pressure to like try and get to day two and perform and do all this is like, it was just like very off, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I remember when we were going to those regionals trying to like, can we qualify for worlds kind of thing? It was like the way in which you did it was by accumulating championship points by like ranking at different events.
Yep.
And they kind of changed it to now you still get championship points, but it's not like anyone who crosses the 500 point threshold. It's just the top 100 and like 25 players in North America. Like, okay, you just have to be in the top 125, which is like it. I think it probably amounts to the same thing. Like, I don't think that means that many more people are going, but somehow that phrasing makes it feel like way less attainable. Like, when it's like anyone can get to 500, it's like, yeah, if I just go hard enough, I can probably get there.
Right.
Whereas now it's just like, I'm probably not going to just like randomly be one of the top 120 players, you know?
That would be pretty unbelievable.
Right.
Like, I mean, that would be so cool.
But I felt like it just like removed a ton of the pressure from like doing it. And like, I feel like that's why that's why I felt like I played so much better. Like, even with just the GLC stuff, it was just like, yeah, I'm just like having fun.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. I'm just here to just to compete and just to have fun. And like, I even noticed like when I came back, like I wasn't even playing like the online game that much, which is mostly like standard format, because like I would get on there and I feel like I've just been away from it too long. I don't really know what's going on. Like, I don't want to have to like relearn everything. But like, I was just like playing it some last week and like, I felt like I had a whole attitude shift towards it, where it was like, I'm not like, what am I trying to prove? Like, nothing, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's just fun. Like, I would get into games and be like, I'm just going to kick this guy's butt right now and just be like, and I was just like, I know exactly what I'm doing, and I would just do my strategy and it would work. And then, you'd win. And you'd be like, boom, did it. Awesome. You know, I wasn't going in like, maybe I'm going to lose. It was just like, nah, I got it. It's, I don't know. It's like real, like almost like confidence boosting thing.
Yeah, no, know? I mean, it's, and that's so great too, because I think like, you know, we uniquely, I guess, like with what we do, like are affiliated with an online community. Like, we have like an online community around us. But like this was getting to go and just like fully participate in a community that I think probably has been able to be brought together because of the digital sphere into a physical space.
Right.
And it's sort of like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the glory of like the modern age, is that any interest has other people who are out there, but it's like, you don't always have somebody else at your high school who might be into the same thing, but it doesn't mean right. that there's not one kid from every high school, of which there are thousands, who are into it. And if all those kids get to go and spend time together, then it's like, you don't feel lonely. It's like, I found my people.
Right.
Like, you know, and I think you're right. Like, it is really, really nice to know that those people are out there. And it's just, it makes me glad. I feel like that's like, you know, in a world that feels like it can be increasingly divisive and difficult and, contradictory at times and all that type of stuff. It's almost like, you know what? But like when we come together over things we love, like then good happens.
Yeah.
You know, when like people feel better, and the more better you feel to go into the world and do things, I bet you're nicer that much more to the flight attendant on the way home, you know,
like, right.
Which has a ripple effect because you've had such a positive experience, then you're nice to them. And then they had a slightly nicer day. And that means they go home and have a better day with their family, and do you know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean. Yeah,
it's like a force that just keeps. I mean, it sounds like cliche, like the pay it forward concept, but in an organic manner.
Yeah,
you know, good in the world will breed more good in the world.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you on that front, tenfold, and overall, yeah, it was just really fun. I just came home, and I think like you know, all the kids have been kind of into Pokemon now because I brought them a bunch of stuff and
of course
all that, and just like yeah, just like I feel like it's just been, I'm in a much more Pokemon mood all the time now, which I'm not sure how long that'll last, you know, if I'm just sort of like the hangover from the event or whatever.
Sure.
But, you know, at the same rate, like, I don't know, like it's not like we've ever stopped collecting the cards or ever been being involved in it or anything. So I guess we'll just sort of see. I'm not sure like what is exactly next on that horizon, but just going to keep playing a bunch of cards, and we've been talking about doing some other like Pokemon content here in the future.
That, yeah. 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 Little teasers, yeah. for some things to come. Yeah, some fun stuff out there. Well, that's very cool. Well, I'm glad that you were able to go. I'm glad that it all worked out, and it was such a good all-around experience.
It was great.
Yeah.
I'd recommend it,
you know. There you go,
hit it up.
All right, y'all, thank you so much as always for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. As always, if you'd like to support the show, we do have our quarterly merch tier, and right now we're inside of Q3 of 2025, and our quarterly merch for this particular window of time is going to be an exclusive 2026 calendar that will be like monthly, I guess, like that's the delineation of the brand of calendar.
Yeah,
we're gonna do little photo shoots for each thing. We're gonna have special dates outlined inside of the calendar down below. Honestly, this is something I feel like I've wanted to do for like a long time, and I'm so excited to like actually go out and do it. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So if you guys want to check it out, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. It's any of the quarterly merch tiers, which also help us decide who is the host every single week. Mm-hmm. In case you're like, how come sometimes it's Ben, sometimes it's Jay? It's because the Patreon dictates everything.
It so does.
You can go and sign up for Team Buzzy.
Change it around.
That's exactly it. Or team neither.
If you're like Team Chaos, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Some people are like that. We've seen it happen before.
Yeah,
I think four times.
Yes.
team neither one.
Team neither one, which means we open the show with 15 seconds of silence because no one's the host.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly correct. Otherwise, if you have any feedback for the show, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.